Listen, Ian. You're listening to I Am Called Ian I Am. Still the first place to come for all your Ian needs. I'm called Ian Lewis.
And I am called Ian Ketterman.
Ian News.
Car crazy Ian Dunbar has spent £540,000 on a McLaren F1 sports car, despite having been banned for speeding twice already. Ian, are you insane?
And veterinary Ian B. Robertson, has written to The Guardian to correct some mistakes about Bob Wiffenden's article about BSE. He says the statement that none of the cattle on Liscombe Experimental Husbandry Farm had ever been given concentrate feed is incorrect. The feed was not used at Liscombe, but their animals were not born there, but bought in from other farms, proving once again that Ian's are better than Bob's.
Yes, and we're still coming to you direct from the Ian International Ian Festival in Edinburgh. Last week, we asked any Ians involved in the festival to write Ian and give us details of their show, and our postbag was literally filled with no letters.
We did get one letter, though, from last week's Ian competition loser, Ian Roy Harrison, complaining that last week we called him a twat, and threatening legal action if we did not apologise. However, we feel his forgetting to make the word Ian out of the letters I, A and N makes him legally a twat, and so he cannot sue us. And his complaining just adds to his twatdom.
Yes, he's a glutton for punishment.
Ian Events.
Yes, this week...
I'm sorry
for the disturbance, Ian, but our studio's been invaded by protesters of some kind.
We are Ians. We are proud.
Stop Ianist behaviour. I-A-I-N, Ians are Ians too.
Oh, no, it's the I-A-I-N scum. Get out. You're not Ians. You have no right to be here.
We are Ians. I-A-I-N spells Ian.
No, it doesn't. It spells... Get out of my sight, Ian, full traitor.
Ian, calm down.
No.
Calm down. We must not allow this commotion to upset our broadcast. We are Profesh Ian Owls.
We will not release you until our demands have been met.
One, Ians of all nations and spellings must be allowed to join as one.
No.
Two, I-A-I-N Ians must have full representation on the National Council of Ians.
Three, Ianist newsreader Ian Ketterman must be removed from the Ian News and replaced by an I-A-I-N Ian.
You are insane. Those things will never happen. I am prepared to die for Ians to remain pure and have only one Ian. Them. No, I hate you, I-A-I-Ns, and all your kind. Get off! You're hurting me.
We have to leave you there, listeners, but don't worry. Now, no force on this earth will stop the Ian News reaching your ears again next week.
Yes, and as you can see, it should be an Ian-vigorating programme. You're injuring me.
Good Ian to all Ians out there.
But not the I-A-I-N Ians, no.
I-A-I-N, say it! I-A-I-N, say it!
For your name there. Hope everyone got the right one this week.
This is the Long Riders from a new live album, I Want You Back. This is cool.
Good.
I'm not.
and worship at the Church of Lee and Herring.
Hi, welcome back to this half. Pete's arrived. All right, Pete, how did the show go?
Very funny.
Anything happen?
I spoke to a lady in the audience.
Brilliant, that's really exciting.
Yeah. She wanted some chicken lolly and she said no.
Right, any other news stuff?
Yeah, in the news this week, poet Adrian Mitchell, who's a famous poet from the world of poems, has challenged other poet, James Fenton, to this competition, because he says he's the best poet. He's not sick of not getting good reviews. What he's proposed is a two-hour contest, including interval. Round one will be 25-minute and 5-minute performances, followed by a series of shorter wild bouts, and culminating in a flying exchange of insulting couplets.
Any actual fists flying in?
No fists, but it's good to see poets fighting like they used to in the old days.
Yeah, should we try to see who's the best poet? Have you, the three of us?
Okay.
Stuart, I'm a better poet than you, and you smell of poo.
That's really good,
Rich. That's good. You got any back to come back to that?
No, I can't come back to that.
You can't, Pete?
Too good.
Can you come back to that?
There once was a young man called Richard who hits me sometimes.
That's very good.
That's breaking the mould there.
Free scansion or whatever it's called.
Other art things in the news. Damien Hirst, the controversial artist, was in the news this week because some other bloke had chucked a load of... He'd done this sculpture, which was a sheep in formaldehyde, and some other bloke went in and chucked loads of ink in it, and they were arguing about whether that ruined it or
As
what.
You know, if you listen, I think all modern art is rubbish, all of it, and Stu thinks
think
it's all good,
but
so you must be in a quandary, which is good there, the sheep without the ink or with the ink?
Well, with the ink's interesting, because the bloke has used a traditional form of art material there, ink, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's kind of, that's quite good in a way, because it bridges the gap between conceptual art and traditional materials.
Well, I suppose that's true, that's an interesting thought, using some of those. You've got to go,
I've got to go now. I'm on stage in 6 minutes at the Pleasance Theatre.
So if you're near the Pleasance Theatre, why not pop in and see if there are any tickets left? There probably will be.
Although my voice, playing false characters, will be appearing in the later part of the show.
That's true.
On tape.
See
you then, thanks for having us along.
That's all right, excuse your show. Thanks
a lot. I hope the last bit goes away.
That's fine. We've got a call in from Ian from Cornwall. Hello, Ian. What's mediocre in your opinion?
Red Ritz the packets, in my opinion.
Why is that?
Because they're better than the... They're not as good as the green, but they're not as good as the king-size ones, obviously.
That's true. That's very good.
That is true.
You can't really write something about that.
Oh, right. Well, you could.
Oh, shut up. Right, it's now it's a little special report we've got that Stu was just mentioning. There's a dangerous new trend amongst supermodels, and so we've been out to talk about it. This starts with the supermodel agent, Tim Tinney. He's a model and she's
Well, of course, you'll remember there was this progression where models were getting increasingly thinner and looking like famine victims, really. And that was good. And then along came Julie, very thin, very frail, more like a skeleton. And I remember on an outside shoot, she caught a very bad cold, poor thing. She was shivering and shaking and sneezing, you know, and we had mucus all over the catwalk. I mean, we're talking cataracts of phlegm, and the other models slipping up in it, and I thought to myself, this is the most disgusting, pathetic, degrading, and offensive spectacle I have ever witnessed. I love it, you know, and soon fashion designers were falling over themselves to have their clothes on the sickest model we could find.
Nag Harris and Siobhan Mutley were amongst the first of the new breed of sick supermodels.
People think thin is really cool, but thin is nothing. Thin is the start of something really big. You know, your eyes are kind of sunken pits. You got your sort of skull outline is very clearly defined.
I really like the look when bogies sort of stitch your eyelashes. And I've got really, you know, sort of really hollowed out cheeks, black rings around the eyes, my hair started falling out. I had bits of sort of dried vomit around my mouth. And that just looked, you know, that just looked great.
Sores particularly, I find, have just really cottoned on recently. Weeping sores, if you can get those.
Actually, yours weep very, very nicely. The light really catches that well. I noticed that.
I got
beautiful.
A couple of real silver dribblers yesterday.
That's
literally
right,
went from my lip right the way down.
And that is beautiful.
I was fortunate enough to get leprosy for a brief while. And walking down the catwalk, bits dropping off, you walk down, make your really big pose at the end of the walk.
Yeah.
And you walk back and just pick bits of you up again.
Yeah, and
you
those bandages. Cool. Oh, darling, those bandages look really nice as well. Were those Versace? It's beautiful.
The illest models are prize catches for Premier League footballers.
Hello.
Since we won the cup, we've got a pick of them. That's
we
it.
Have,
we've
yeah.
rolled everything. My girlfriend.
We've got the pick of the sanatoriums, haven't we?
We have.
Right, yeah.
My girlfriend has dysentery.
Moist.
He's so ill. He's just beautiful.
I divorced my wife, actually. I mean, she was pretty ill, you know, but only in the summer. You know, she had hay fever. But, you know, where did that leave me when the pollen count was down, you know?
Chaka.
It's a terrific bird, you know, and it was love at first sight. She got tuberculosis. You know,
fantastic.
Cough on her.
I'll tell you, I went out, I had a one-night stand with a girl with diarrhea. Very nice it was.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can't beat TB. I mean, first thing in the morning, what do you see but a blood-flecked pillow? That's the way to start a day, you know, eh?
I went out with a girl with sebaceous cysts once, right? And smelly cysts all over her body. You squeeze them, all this white stuff comes out. And you smear it all over her body and you lick it off. It's horrible.
But that's
give it the white stuff, eh? Yeah, I went out with a dead girl once.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It's horrible. Horrible, yeah.
Still, get them to do what you want, can't you?
This is the Voodoo Queens with Supermodels Superficial. There'll be more from the sick models after this.
I don't give a shit if I'm not here. No, I haven't got let's say wishes by. And I don't painfully wonder why. It's not my aim in life to possess Paris lit smile or to dream of a shadow supermodel life.
Clever what they've done here. They've taken the super of supermodels and the super of superficial and tied that together in a sort of pun form.
Just get your shadow diet out of my face. You're five and a ring, body, Tommy Skins. You're sure you're not you. Help when I'm through the perpetual beauty queen.
They could have gone, supermodel means supermarket, but that wouldn't have been as effective as a satire, say, or super glue, super Ted, or supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Wouldn't have been as good, though.
Who's role models do you really think you are? Young girls that make themselves sick. Feel guilty for being such a team. Living in their self-hate.
Many supermodels are highly educated as well, so smacks of jealousy a bit, I think. Back with our six supermodels, Dr. Matthew Harris is very concerned about this new trend.
As a doctor, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I've got talent scouts coming around my hospital trying to sign up the illest girls they can find. I mean, it's ludicrous. The place for somebody with rabies or Ott-Goldschlatter's disease is in hospital, not modelling in the Bahamas. And let's face it, with the skimpiness of those, some of those costumes, they're going to catch a cold as well. Admittedly, they do have doctors on site at the catwalk, but they are not real doctors. They are other models. Models in doctors' costumes. It's not right, they're not qualified. All they can do is, like the models, is prance up and down a catwalk with a stethoscope. If a girl falls over, what's he going to do? Sashay?
Jenny Faggs is a journalist on a youth media publication.
Well, as a journalist on a youth media publication, I can see the danger of these young girls. You see these models with all these diseases, they're going to get jealous. Girls are looking at their own bodies, and they just can't compete. They can't compete with a supermodel who's got Ludwig's angina, can they? It's all very well for these models, of course, because they're getting designer illnesses. They're created in laboratories. Very high quality. Out in the streets, though, of course, girls are buying diseases without really knowing exactly what they're getting. For instance, I heard of a case recently where a young teenager bought what she thought was hay fever and ended up with smallpox. And it's criminal. I think it's appalling.
I think the young girls are always getting ill. You know, it's just the way things are. I don't think they're trying to deliberately copy us.
Girls will be girls, you know.
That's profound,
If there's an influenza bug sort of going around the school, girls will catch it.
That's not a copycat thing. That's just, you know, that's contagion, really. That's how it works. I just say be careful. You want to contract a disease, consult a local physician and Try and get him to slip you something. Don't go into, you know, to the dirty people. Don't do that.
Public opinion on the models is divided.
I don't like it. It's a nasty trend, that is. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I know what I like. You know, I want a woman, you know, a good, strong, healthy woman. You know, if you hit her, she's going to get up again. You know, just lying around, you know, moaning.
I think it's a great thing. I think it looks really good. I mean, I've actually got non-specific urethritis. Well, I won't say how I got it. Let's just leave it at that. But it's an internal thing, so obviously you can't see it from the outside. But I'm very, very happy with it, and so's my boyfriend.
Well, I'm really against the whole thing, really. My daughter's been really badly teased at school because she hasn't got acne. And you know, we've tried the usual measures. We've tried lard on the face. We've tried rubbing the lard in. Absolutely nothing has worked, really. So she's got perfect skin, and God has blessed her with perfect skin. And to be honest, I can't afford the proper products to give the child acne, to roughen up her face like that. So why can't people just accept her the way she is?
I like it. I think it's good. I like the illnesses. I like the worse the better, I think. The more dirty and ill they look with stuff coming out of their hair and in their face, that's what I like. I know what I like. And I like them being sick and stuff and, you know, gastric things, anything. The more dirt and filth, the more that turns me on, you know. And any bloke who says it doesn't, he's not a proper bloke. He's lying.
This is Bruce Foxton, the real brains behind The Jam, singing David Watt, which was originally a Kinks song. Listen to the words of this song, because they weave a very important message. Not these words, particularly the ones coming up just after this. Now. I am a doll, I'm simple, I'm a planet of water from Shakespeare, and I have never been to queen, and I wish I could have all he has. Foxton would have been better off, really, wishing he could be like Paul Weller, I think, and Rick Buckler would have been. Right, we've got lots more rubbish calls about mediocre things, and you're keeping it very mediocre for us, which is nice of you. Golf balls, says John of Guildford, beach balls are good, cricket balls are rubbish, golf balls are mediocre. You're insane. Legal highs, says Nick from Southampton, are mediocre. The shopkeepers make money out of them, apparently. I think you get most of those from Viz mail order, don't you? We've got Pete with us. How are you doing, Pete?
All right. I was wondering, that man said about Rizzlers.
Yeah.
What are they for?
Oh, it's just nothing, really. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. It'll never concern you, Pete. Right. What have you been to see anything you like? And what do you think about the art sort of situation? You see anything?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I saw this thing on the telly the other day, that thing, Edinburgh Night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this about Edinburgh in the night. And they had the thing on this man who does art, and what he'd done was he'd got twigs from 32 counties in Ireland, and he tied them all together on a big hill outside Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And he said that if all the trees could live together, then why can't the people? But I just thought, well, the trees haven't got guns, have they?
Yeah, it's a shame you weren't there when he was collecting all those twigs. Could have saved him a lot of time.
Yeah, because I thought, well, the trees, they can't really fight anyway, because they're stuck in the ground. They could sort of, like...
Maybe if the people, Pete, stood in the ground...
then everything would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen anything else? Any shows?
Yeah, yeah. I saw a show called Lana Smoking, yeah. Which I misunderstood it. I thought it said Alan Smoking. I thought it'd just be some bloke called Alan smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, which would have been good, wouldn't it?
It would have been good, but
What was it about then?
It was a lady with a bra off.
Oh, right.
And then after about 10 minutes, she took her pants off as well, and I got scared of that.
Don't worry, I wouldn't worry about it, because you're never likely to see that situation in a real-life situation. So it's just like, you know, pretend. It's like Tron.
They've got all hair down there, haven't they?
Have you seen anything else, Pete? Apart from the hair.
I saw some comedy.
Kevin Eldon. Oh, yeah, what did you say?
It's got nice comedy, yeah. Because I saw it in Princes Street, and there's a man who stands outside the Virgin Megastore, and he's got like a big spider tattooed on his face with the body of the spider on his nose and like legs going over his face like that.
Yeah.
And I think there's comedy there, because as I walked past, he was just standing looking at an empty space, laughing.
Right.
So I sort of joined in, sort of free comedy. I started laughing with him.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Did he mind?
He pushed me a bit, and then I went away.
Got any recipes for Scotland?
Yeah, just a quick one, which is a really nice one, which is I had an idea for Scotch eggs, because they're from Scotland, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I thought, well, what about Scotch whiskey? Where you get whiskey, and you sort of, like with Scotch eggs, you cover it with sausage meat and breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And that's Scotch.
How would you do that, though? It would just run out, wouldn't it? The whiskey would run out of the side. It wouldn't be very nice. Yeah.
So have Scotch
Shut
man.
Up, Pete.
Scotch
Shut
man
up.
Cover a man in breadcrumbs.
Shut up, Pete.
Sorry.
Lee and Herring, lost on the way to the toilets on 1FM.
This song is called Satan. It's sung by the voice of Paul Wibier. That's his real name. If you think you are Satan, listen to the words. They might have something to say to you. If you don't think you're Satan, just listen to the nice tune. I hate all music. I do.
By the time I was two, they were calling me Satan. I was born mean. By the time I was 12, I was killing for Satan. Yes, my mother, she had problems, too many of her own. She was young, everybody's girl. Yes, she was.
Yes, she was.
As a child.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Hello. If you listen to this show every week, I will need no introduction as you will recognise my voice. If, however, this is the first time you've heard it, then I must tell you that I am called Simon Quinlank, and the following 2 minutes will be infilled by my hobby advice. This week, the hobby is a good hobby, as good as some of the other hobbies I've told you about, perhaps even a better hobby than those hobbies. What you'll need is...
some hiking boots.
A flask of weak lemon drink.
A floor or hard surface.
And access to some eggs.
This hobby is a hobby you can do anywhere, and will take you to a variety of locations. I call it egg smashing. If you are a beginner to the hobby of egg smashing, then why not go to a shop or supermarket? Ask the assistant where the eggs are. Where are the eggs?
By the pickles.
When you are by the eggs, get two out of the carton and smash them on the floor. You have just smashed your first egg.
What are you doing?
Once you have smashed eggs in supermarkets, cafes and the street, you may become frustrated. It might seem that however many eggs you smash, still more spring up to take their place. So, you might like to specialise on a particular kind of egg. If you choose the egg of a rare bird or lizard, there is a good chance that you might be able to smash all the eggs of that type which exist and then eradicate those eggs for always. I am up a mountain now, tracking down the eggs of the noble golden eagle. And you might like to drink your weak lemon drink at this point, or you can save it until later. The mother bird has flown. Smash the eggs! Smash, you dirty, disgusting eggs! Smash! Smash! Remember, there are many different kinds of eggs you can smash. Chocolate ones, fish eggs and or frog spawn, or bejeweled Fabergé eggs. If you start to find smashing all these kinds tedious, and when you're sure that you're sufficiently adept at smashing eggs, why not try smashing human eggs? These are readily available if you break into a fertility clinic under the cloak of night and break open the egg fridge where the eggs are being frozen for future experiments and usage. Then, smash the eggs to bits. Enjoy your hobby, whatever it is, and smash those whorish eggs!
Right, we're nearly at the end of the show now. The mediocrity phone calls, mediocre, I'm afraid. There's no winner this week, because you're all rubbish. That's why we'll have to think of our own thing. That's why I'm sitting here in the studio with Peter Bainham on my own, and you are there. This week's show was brought to you by Stuart Lee, Richard Herring, Kevin Eldon, Mel Gedroich, Sue Perkins, and of course, Peter Bainham. You right, Pete?
Yeah.
What, if you were an assassin, what would you be, Pete?
Well, assassin, like Peter the Baby.
Peter the Baby. Yeah, that's quite good. Right, well, now it's we're going over to our top showbiz chum, Mark Radcliffe, in Manchester. We were on his show this week, all of us apart from Peter, because he's not good enough. So we're looking forward to speaking to him. I'm going to ask him a question now, see if he can answer it, or see if his show is pre-recorded. Mark, whose show's best, yours or ours? He's not there.
I am.
Oh, hello. Whose show is best, yours or ours, Mark?
Well, I didn't think there was any need to answer, because I just thought it was obvious.
Yeah, it's ours.
Well, you know, I had a really bad evening today. It's nice of you to make fun of me. I had a really bad evening. I was going to listen to your show, and I did. Right, OK. Top showbiz chums, eh? This is what... I remember Diddy David and Tony Blackburn used to do this, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then it used to grind to a halt because they'd nothing prepared to say to each
That's
other.
That's right. Well, you've had a lot more practice than us, and you've been going for years. We're going to go now.
What? There you go, you see. I've had years more practice at grinding to a halt.
Can I be on your show, please?
What?
Can I be on your show? That's Peter.
Who
Peter
the heck Bainham. Are you?
It's Peter Bainham.
I don't know, you have to pay. How much did it cost you to be on, Richard?
It cost quite a lot. I got a beer, though, off that bloke. Lard bloke, what it was called.
Right, OK. Yeah, I think we should have ground to a halt the first time,
yeah,
don't
I
you?
Yeah, so. Go away.
It's going downhill now.
Is anybody out there?
And now, live from Manchester...
This stuff is brought to you by www.thisstuffbun.net.